Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field. We are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we try to get past the opening loss of the Eagles in Brazil and look ahead to the home opener against the Colts. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Jaden Reed.
We got the bad. We got
Jair, not so much money, Alexander.
We got the ugly, we got
Ron Torbert. If we never have to see this fool again officiating a Packers game, I will be very, very happy. Of all the things that he adjudicated over the course of that game on Friday night, Corey, this to me was the most egregious. And there was plenty on offer. But just look at this call, or non-call as it were, from a crew who took every opportunity to call the most egregiously stupid minutia nonsense that sometimes they just made up. Now here's an opportunity where they could have called something and didn't, with this non-call on the intentional grounding from Jalen Hurts. Just take a look at this real quick before we get going. Now, is he outside the pocket? No. Does the ball get past the line of scrimmage? No. Is there a receiver in the immediate area? No. So, of course, it's not intentional grounding. And then they came up with some nonsense about, oh, he was being, the throw was being affected because he was being hit by the, yeah, that's why he was trying to throw it, because he was getting hit. That's the whole point of the rule. Oh, Corey, you can tell I have not let this go since Friday. It's driving me insane. And guess what? That moment in time, there's a major shift in the game. After that, like, yeah, this drives me insane. It's the officiating that, like, has to be part of the narrative in both facets, not just for a non-call like this where it's blazingly obvious, but then taking Jaden Reed's first touchdown off the board off of a completely made up offensive pass interference penalty where the contact was well within a yard of the line of scrimmage. By the rule, not offensive pass interference, but oh, yep, it's the start of the game. I got to make sure everyone knows I'm here. I'm throwing a flag.
Tell me how you really feel about the officiating.
Ugly, Banky. Ugly stuff from Ron Torbert.
I mean, it was ugly across the league, let's be real, but yeah.
Yeah, the emphasis on the offensive side of the ball with the illegal formation penalties. Whew, baby, that was rough in week one. Here's hoping that goes down a bit as we go along here. But hey, you know what it is. I'm sorry I had to start negative. Let's regroup. Let's focus on something positive. Let's get to the hotness. Oh yeah. It's time for the hotness. You know what, Corey? This week, it really feels like you could pick pretty much any play that Jaden Reed had the ball in his hands as the hotness. Essentially, that's what this week is. But I'm going with his first touchdown, which is absolutely just outstanding. The more you watch it, the more you appreciate the work he does on this play. And there are some great blocks, both by Emmanuel Wilson and Josh Myers on this play. But let's take a look at Jaden Reed scoring a touchdown. The first one for the Packers in 2024. The first one down there in Brazil. Here he comes on the end around. Like I said, watch Emmanuel Wilson get out there. Ooh, Myers with a block. And then Reed just shedding the would-be tackler. Just essentially saying, get the fuck off me. And here it is from the end zone angle. Again, Wilson, Myers, and then Reed takes care of the last guy. Touchdown. I make miracles happen. Outstanding. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the hotness.
He had a pretty ridiculous game. For sure.
Ridiculous game. Absolutely. Let's get to some Packers news, shall we? Because there is a bit to talk about here with the injury to Jordan Love, which I'm sure most Packers fans are aware of at this point. He did not practice today. I know earlier in the week, Matt had gamesmanship, talking about, oh, if he gets cleared, they'll give him the whole week. Jordan Love did not practice. He did suffer an MCL injury in that game in Brazil. No one expects him to play on Sunday, but Matt LaFleur is trying to keep that door open for the Colts and having to prepare for two quarterbacks. But no Jordan Love at practice today after suffering that MCL injury at the end of the Eagles game. Malik Willis will most likely be your starting quarterback. Been in the building, what, a little over 2 weeks? It's going to be interesting to see what kind of game plan they have for him, what he's allowed to do, what they take out of said offensive playbook to try and limit things and get a working version of the Packers offense with Malik Willis under center. Some other practice notes: Corey Ballantyne, Kenny Clark, Josh Jacobs, and Marshawn Lloyd are all limited. We're all limited in practice today. Clark dealing with a toe injury, Jacobs dealing with a back, and Lloyd still dealing with that hamstring injury from earlier this preseason. Hopefully he ramps up as the week goes along. And then finally, I believe Corey had a point he wanted to make as far as Packers news goes here.
No, I just think, you know, the Packers news that nobody picked up on is I guess the Packers were able to find a plane to fly out of the Green Bay airport, Mark Murphy. So I'm sure the city of Green Bay and the Green Bay airport and the Brown County executive is holding their breath for an apology from Mark Murphy after he threw the town for the manyth time. If he doesn't want to do something, his MO is to throw Green Bay under the bus. So, you know, the tread marks are on the Green Bay airport, but it looks like all is well for Green Bay Airport
there and
being
back.
Just big enough to get you to Brazil and get you there in style. So I guess that wasn't an issue. Interesting. Just wanted to, you know, I'm not petty, but you know, I might have to get a champagne. I might have to do what Dave Portnoy does. I might have to get a champagne bottle for some of these people. But you know, might have to get the champagne bottle. And I don't know if I would get a champagne bottle from Mark Murphy for FanFest. Maybe. Maybe I would get a champagne bottle and then I would just mark all the times like we've been snuffed by him or the town of Green Bay and just put that for when he retires.
Every time
and
he
then
belittles
just, like,
Green Bay. I mean, the man did buy a golf course. Come on now. He's playing for
retirement.
He
bought a golf course
in
Door County. He bought a golf course in Door County.
Fair. Fair.
So,
fair.
Had
but
he bought a
area.
Golf course in
like
Brown County.
Bought it in Tennessee or something.
I mean, you know? Yeah, he didn't buy it in Illinois, so there's that.
Exactly.
But,
no, there's that.
Yeah. No, you know, he does a lot of good things. Just you know, I'm waiting. I'm sure that Troy and the mayor are holding their breath for that apology that's coming forth from the Packers.
Oh, I love it. By the way, that plane looked pretty sweet. I saw some of the, you know, interior shots of the type of plane they took, not the actual plane the Packers were on. But that plane looked amazing. The fact that there's like so much kind of comfortable room for, you know, the most of the team to sit in those nice looking pods that, you know, you got to thank coach and company up front were enjoying. I'm down with that. Next time I go to Brazil, that's the way I want to go, Corey. And I'm going to build T-Set TV because let me tell you, flying back there, the back of the bus, 10 hours, the way I did on that American Airlines flight with no leg room to speak of. I had some dude next to me falling asleep on my shoulder about halfway through the flight. Whoo, baby. I said this on Happy Hour last night. There was a moment coming back where I seriously considered paying $200 just to have 6 inches of leg room. But I decided against it. And
but
I just watched Lord of the Rings.
Then you realize you're cheap. And you.
I'm cheap and, you know, I'm just going to watch a movie and kind of forget myself for 9 hours. And that's what I did. So it was fine. It was just great to be there. It was amazing to be there. Let's talk about the Packers offense, shall we? Jaden Reed, weapon. And it was funny going back and looking at some of our discussions this offseason, Corey. So much talk about who's going to do what as far as targets, as far as yards, as far as touchdowns. Turns out, week one, it was all Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed was the guy to do everything as far as gobbling up yards, getting targets, getting touchdowns. And look, he could have had an even bigger day if not for a couple misfires from Jordan Love. So, man, Jaden Reed. Talk
well,
about
to be
the
fair,
ground,
they were trying to get Dontavian Wicks and other people more involved, and Dobbs had a couple.
Oh, 100%.
But they, you know, they had some drop balls, and Reed definitely stepped up there. I said this kind of in happy hour last night. I feel about the Packers offense. I mean, I personally felt like watching this Packers offense, there's just something very special about it. And I know, I don't know how much bias I'm bringing into this, because I know in the offseason I wanted this so badly. So I don't know if this is a case where I want something so badly, so I'm seeing the things that I want.
I'm seeing ghosts of it. Right?
Yeah. But there's something really extraordinary about this offense. And I do think that the way that the players have been set up, and the fact that, you know, we all have been young players competing for, you know, the last 2-3 years, I do think this bodes well for Malik Willis and somebody else stepping in. It's not quite Jordan's offense, the way everybody came together. Now, there's certainly players that Jordan preferences, right? Like, he has his preferences, like Dontavian Wicks, like, clearly, you know, even in training camp.
On a backside one-on-one, Romeo Doubs in the end
zone. And Malik isn't going to have those. But, like, you're – I don't think that there's – you know, if coach is gearing something for a certain player, that's one thing. But I really think that, you know, as far as, you know, tight end play aside, as far as the offense is concerned, you can kind of put different guys in place and you have the same offense, which is really incredible.
Yes. And it's really difficult for offense or defensive coordinators to say, oh, I'm going to take that away, because – whatever it might be that you're trying to take away could be coming from any of the kind of four, top four, especially wide receivers. And that's even before you get the guys like Bo Melton. So, yeah, I very much agree with you. I think the way that they're going to have to approach this, obviously, with Willis at quarterback, is to give him some delineated stuff where you're not asking him to read, like, go through a four-man progression, right? Like, it's one, maybe two, and if it's not there, here's your outlet. Let's keep moving.
I think there's
enough talent here that they, whatever that option ends up being that he pulls the trigger on, is going to be able to get you something after the catch.
Well, and I hope they do that, because certainly the Colts are going to try to disrupt his day for you know, they're going to try, their focus on defensive strategy is going to try to disrupt him as much as they can.
Well, and they're going to pack the box because they don't want to let the Packers run the ball. No question. I mean, obviously that's why the cat and mouse game begins, no doubt. You mentioned the tight ends. I wonder if we have a tight end that will break out. Will a tight end break out, or will this truly be kind of a week-to-week thing? There was a lot less two tight end stuff down in Brazil than I expected coming out the gate. Now, Matt did say more of a product of the game plan and or the defense they were facing than anything else. But if you look at kind of especially a couple of plays with Musgrave, where whether it's the route he ran on the interception – or maybe something he's supposed to do there, not getting off when they got the 12-man penalty. You know, there's a couple of infractions there, you might call them, where maybe that impacted his play time and Matt's desire to use him. But, man, Tucker Kraft, he came to play, and he looked good doing it. And I think the more we get both of these guys in the field, the better it's going to be for the offense. But, man, it's going to be exciting to see if Kraft can build on what I thought was a pretty damn good performance down in Brazil.
Here's my issue with the tight ends. It's like, who's 88 and who's 85? And I say this metaphorically. No, seriously. Because, like, you might know, but do you really? Like, you don't. They're just kind of two guys, right? And nobody, Kraft had a better day, but you just need something more from the tight ends, period. It's so funny because tight end used to be such a strength on this team, and it just doesn't feel that way right now.
I think it's early, and I think they.
I think it's completely early. I think they had flashes last season, but
they'll imprint themselves on your brain soon enough. As far as 88 and 85, like, that will become very apparent very quickly as this year goes on. Like, you'll see plays.
Well, and I laugh. The reason I say that too is, like, 85 and 88 are probably two of the numbers that the Packers have used with so many players. Like, so
many different players.
You've got kind of the past, but I don't think they haven't. Neither one has excelled to a certain level, but it's funny because on the wide receiver side, I'm like, hey, everybody can step in and do any role. And I'm not giving the same credence to the tight ends where it's like, no, I need somebody to be reliable consistently. So we can do the things that we need to do. Also,
if they get more opportunities, I think they'll show that. Like, I just think whatever the approach was from Matt on Friday night, I just didn't think it was tight end specific or centric. But if given those opportunities, I think they will, especially Kraft. And now Musgrave's been a little hit and miss in camp in that first game so far. But I think it does come down to opportunities. And you can't deny the wide receivers got a lot more of them on Friday night.
I'm with you.
All right. Very good.
Sorry. You know what I was thinking about?
What's that?
Okay. The game last night in the in the first quarter, like the second time the Jets had the ball.
Yeah. Okay. You mean
so
Monday
night. The second time the Jets had the ball. Oh, yeah. Monday night. Right. That was like, it seems like that was last night. Anyway. So the second time, the second drive when the Jets had the ball, did you see the dinking and dunking that was going on by Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
And then he has so much success with it. And it gave me PTSD a little bit because he has so much success with the offensive game plan. And then he completely goes away from it. It's like, oh, yeah, it's so funny. No. He still has that problem. And I'm going to bring this back around to the Green Bay Packers because, you know, I don't think Matt likes to dink and dunk. I just don't think that's a strategy he likes. No matter what is going on, he's got to put his player in a five steps drop situation for no reason whatsoever. Because that was happening. Mm. You know, that was definitely happening in Brazil where it's like, wait, why are we doing this right now?
We're trying to push the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Well, look, but then there's success, right? You see that the other Jaden Reed touchdown, which he didn't show, like where Jordan Love steps up, but it's a great over route from Reed and there's a great release out into the flat from, I think it's Tucker Kraft, that pulls the corner down and Reed's got all sorts of green grass to roll into and big touchdown. That's the kind of elixir, right? That's what tantalizes you. If you're a play caller, you're like, I'm going to hit another one of those, you know? And
I totally get that, but
trying to push it downfield rather than just dinking and dunking.
It goes to who you're playing too. It's like, both teams, like I would say the 49ers and the Eagles have those two type of defenses that you kind of, the only thing that can beat them is dinking and dunking because they're going to get to you in five. You're not going to last 4 seconds. And so there's this like confidence in our line that we can last 5 seconds. And I don't see it yet. I haven't seen it.
I feel you. Yeah. Pretty up and down across the board up front. I think Elton and of course, Zach Tom had pretty damn good performances, but everything else was pretty inconsistent. So I'm with you there. Finally, I love this. It's very rare that Corey contributes notes to the football portion of the proceedings.
I love how you didn't change what I put. You changed what I put on the tight ends, but you didn't change what I put.
The tight ends, I just wanted to make it a little cleaner, crisper for the lower third here, but I think I love how you phrase this. So here, Corey, I'll have you handle this last bullet point on offense.
When did we forget how to throw a Hail Mary? Is that not a play in our playbook?
That's an Aaron Rodgers thing.
No, it's not. This goes back to, I remember bitching forever about the fact that we didn't have a quarterback sneak in our playbook. And then Matt finally puts one in, and then we're horrible at it for like forever. And then, but then it's like, really, you don't have Hail Mary. Like you got to have a Hail Mary.
Well, they were trying to set up the Hail Mary. That's that first play where Jordan rolls out to the left and hits Reed for that amazing throw at the 50. They're trying to set up the Hail Mary. The problem is that they tried to continue to set up the Hail Mary with the next play rather than just run the Hail Mary.
I know, but
that's what I'm saying. That's like, literally the play that
also,
Jordan got hurt on.
Here's better. Okay. Here's a better try in that last part. Run two Hail Marys unless they intercept the first one and just say fuck it. Because if we would have went full protect, right, send two guys, try a Hail Mary, maybe have a guy under in case they don't take the guy under, but they're going to take him and it's pointless.
Right.
Throw it, see if they get it. If they get it, okay, you tried. But it's like, I don't know. Everything we did was just – I know it's the end of the game, but that's where – you have seen the Packers win games before on a Hail Mary. It's not just an Aaron Rodgers thing. It happens.
Well,
okay?
You've seen it, but it is kind of an Aaron Rodgers thing because it's the arm strength, and that's why they're trying to get closer because Jordan doesn't have the howitzer that Aaron did. That's just facts. I mean, I love Jordan Love, but he has not got the arm strength that Aaron Rodgers does as far as, okay, we want to throw it 60 yards. That's a luxury. That's why they're trying to move one more play forward so they can get in position for Jordan Love to throw a Hail Mary.
I don't like it. Malik Willis clearly can't throw a fucking Hail Mary because that was.
I don't know, man. He's got a bit of an arm. He's got a live arm. I mean, like, I don't know if he's got 60 yards, but he's got a live arm. So we'll see.
You know,
hopefully they're not in a position where they have to throw a Hail Mary.
The Hail Mary thing goes to the same thing as timeouts early. It goes to the same thing. Okay.
How's that?
So
I missed this.
It goes to this. No, it goes to, well, I mean, the Packers, like, they don't, we've said this before, and they proved it in Brazil. They love, and there's nothing more valuable than using your timeouts early to Matt LaFleur. Like, if he can, he will use them. But I'm saying the ability to layer a Hail Mary in or not use your timeouts, they kind of follow this same path of, like, if you're playing, it's like, once we start doing those small things, this offense is going to be unstoppable because we're going to be focused on some of those things. Now, granted, if our offense was really good, we wouldn't have to ever do a Hail Mary. But the fact that we just don't have a Hail Mary in our pocket is sad to me. I don't know. It's sad.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully we never have to find out because they'll be ahead in all these games going forward and they won't have to throw a Hail Mary. That's where I'm living with this. Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball, shall we? Hey, okay. Rush lane integrity. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Against a quarterback who ran all over them in Philadelphia a couple of years ago. I understand they probably didn't put as much pressure on the quarterback as fans would like. I was certainly frustrated at times watching the game live. But going back and watching it, it's a pretty damn impressive display. Like, they kind of broke down right at the end, which is unfortunate. But, man, throughout the game, again, against a quarterback who absolutely killed them with his legs last time, that's a really disciplined group, and I just wanted to give them kudos because it's not easy. It may look easy, but it ain't easy. And I thought they did a hell of a job containing Jalen Hurts.
I was giving them kudos live. So
well done. Well
done. Watch the tape. Man, I did it a couple times.
A couple two tree.
Just saying.
Two tree times.
There were two or three very, very apparent times that I was giving them credit for staying in their lane. So it's nice.
Get ready for more Edgerrin Cooper, Corey. I mean, this kid is exciting. He didn't play a ton on Friday night, but he has certainly earned a longer look. Matt LaFleur saying on Monday, the expectation, the plan is to get him on the field a little bit more. I mean, you're going to live with some rookie growing pains, much like you did last year on the offensive side of the ball, but there's no denying his kind of spark, how he popped off the screen as far as sideline to sideline ability, the athleticism to shoot gaps, get across the line of scrimmage and create havoc. That was all on display. Now Matt did say there was one play in particular that, you know, he had a bust and that caused a significant gain on a running play, I believe. But I think that's not surprising given that he has literally missed almost all of camp, didn't play a single down in the preseason. And I don't think did anything as far as teamwork goes, either in camp or in the joint practices. So this was legit his first football being played since he played in college.
That's crazy.
And he played pretty damn well. So I'm excited to see more of him. Because like I said, he was fun to watch.
He was very fun to watch. You know who wasn't fun to watch is where the hell is LVN? Is he gone? Did he get cut or what happened?
He's not gone. He had 13 snaps.
He
had a couple that were very promising.
Disappeared.
Well, he disappeared because he wasn't on the field. He didn't have the opportunities. I think he'll get more as the season goes on. But it was weird to see Enigbare on the field almost twice as much as him.
Like, it's bizarre.
Definitely need more Lucas Van Ness in our life. That's what I'm hoping we see on Sunday. And then finally, look, you're talking about where do people go or what's going on. They need better from Jaire Alexander. I understand that A.J. Brown is a premium talent, one of the best wide receivers in the league. You're supposed to be one of, if not the best corner in the league. That's why the Packers paid you what they did. And this, you know, is a bit of a disturbing trend at this point, going back to last year, where we understand the friction with Barry, supposedly, what he was being asked to do. Clearly, he gets his wish here, following the team's best wide receiver, gets into a jawing match with him, and promptly gets burned for a big touchdown. And the other play that really kind of irked me was all offseason we talked, and all leading up to this game, the whole NFL consensus was Jalen Hurts, real issues with the blitz, teams really got after him last year. So you know the Eagles are going to be rehearsing, practicing, whatever, getting ready for big pressure, right? Halfley finally calls a big pressure, and they get a free rusher, forcing Jalen Hurts to get the ball out quickly. Brown catches the ball prior to the first down marker. Jaire's right there, can't make the tackle, can't make the stop. Brown is up the left sideline for a big gain and a first down. It's like, these are the plays that you are paid to make. These are the plays they're counting on you to make. You know, I love Jair. And people were giving him shit about taking that interception out of the end zone. I love that play. I think it's dumb football-wise, but I understand he wants to make a play. And I love that mentality. I want to make a play.
The well, and also that call on him was, on third down was BS.
Oh, that was so atrocious. BS. Atrocious was call. Ridiculous. Atrocious. But the funniest part of that return attempt is he's literally pointing for someone to make a block as the receiver is literally right behind him. It's like, dog, just get upfield. But that's the thing. I love his mentality. But you got to bring it way more consistently. Way more consistently. If you're the number one that you purport to be, we got to see it on the field in a consistent basis. The Packers need it if they want to play the style of defense they want to play. That's just me.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. I would like.
And then finally,
he's now the second highest paid cornerback, right? He's not the first anymore, I think.
Yeah, no, I think he's fallen down a couple pegs, actually, in the last
He's in the top five still, though.
He's in the top five. He's in the top five.
As far as paid. So, yeah.
Yes. And then finally, I love that. I believe Corey Banky added something, again, to the script, which is, again, you'll notice a theme here, ladies and gentlemen. It's very unusual where Corey is very active in the script creation of Packer transplants. There's going to be another one later in Blogosphere that we can talk about as well. But Corey wanted to highlight the new Green Bay Packers kicker. And what better way to do so than Corey's live reaction during the watch party? Let's take a look.
Here it is. This is why the other two kickers lost their job. It was these 43-yarders, 43-yard field goal attempt for Narveson. Do we have a kicker that's any fucking good? No, we don't. Fuck. Ah! I hate fucking kickers. Ah!
You know what I love about that clip? My favorite part of that clip is, you know, the high-pitched scream that you emit after the miss? That is literally the same sound you make in the video where you find out during the draft that the host of Hot Ones is a Bears fan.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally the exact same scream.
Yeah.
I love it. So good.
Well, I actually got a DM from Hodkiewicz. He actually was like, nice setup on that. So I was like, oh, thank you.
You're like a pro broadcaster or something.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
Thank you for my
absolutely incredible.
It was fun.
I'm impressed.
You know, that wasn't fun, but it was fun.
That was
the Howard Dean screen. It's definitely a Howard Dean screen.
The Howard Dean screen. That's exactly what.
It's a little more guttural than the Howard Dean screen.
Yeah, we're dating ourselves. We're very much dating ourselves with that.
I mean, I saw it on somebody put it on chat. But you are spot on. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I like it.
Wasn't that the shriek of a banshee? Yes, it was.
Let's talk Colts-Packers real quick. The Colts lead the all-time series 24-21-1. So they've been whelmed once. Overwhelmed the Packers 24 times. Underwhelmed the Packers 21 times. The Packers have lost 3 in a row to the Colts and 4 of the last 5.
So weird.
Corey, what the hell is going on? I know one of those was in 2016, my first year on the beat, when they lost to the Colts at Lambeau. And Tom Oates turned to me and goes, they were really good until you got here. Now they suck. That was good. That was a real fun day in the press box.
That's nice.
The Colts are favored by 3.5. I would take these. I would take the Packers. I would absolutely take the Packers in this game. 3.5 at Lambeau, home opener. Let's do it. I'm all about it.
I mean, you know why they did it. You know why they did it.
They want your money. That's why.
I definitely, yeah. I don't know. I'm still pretty positive about this game coming up.
I am too. If you want pretty a positive. Deeper dive, deep preview of this Colts matchup, home opener, you should subscribe to the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. Andy Herman and I have an exclusive video for all the diehard members at Cheesehead TV Nation. Now, the newsletter itself is free. But there's tons of content you can get access to if you become a diehard member. It's only $5 a month. You get preview videos from Andy and myself each and every week. You get post-game podcasts from myself and Paul Brettle. And Ken Lass has an exclusive column each and every week after the game, all for the diehard members of Cheesehead TV Nation. Do it. There's a link in the description of this video to sign up for the newsletter. Again, you can just sign up for the free version. The next one goes out tomorrow.
Yeah, you don't have to pay. And
you don't
by
have
the
to
way,
pay for the newsletter.
Aaron and Al have, I think we have 38 weeks straight right now. I think we're on a 38-week streak, maybe a 28-week streak. But we are on a streak of a weekly newsletter, and we're not stopping, and we got a game plan. And it's kind of cool, you guys. You know, I always give Al and Aaron shit about, like, writing on the site. It's like nobody's reading the site. Nobody reads anymore. And what's very fascinating in the world of technology, like, it's so funny how people have gone away from blogs, but they a lot of people really still love an email newsletter and still love the spoken word, the written word when it comes to a newsletter. Right. I don't know why it is, but it's definitely kind of like a newsletters have been around forever, right? But the it's so funny how in the last like 3 to 4 years, there's this like there's this whole thing and you know, it's really good stuff. I highly recommend it. And you know, it's if you're into getting your Packers news via email, I do think that you know, the guys have really stepped it up, and we've got to
check it out. Like Corey said, we've been doing it all off season, and we do it twice a week during the season. And there's exclusive content if you want it. Good stuff. Check it out. All right, we're ready. Let's do it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere. The return of that venerable series. Hey, Corey, did you know I went to Brazil last week?
Yeah, I did.
I went to Brazil last week. That's insane to me. Like, I did it, and that's insane to me. I did want to give a shout-out before we get to anything else in blogosphere to Marcus from Packers Brazil. The meetup the night before the game was fucking incredible. I mean, it was so impressive. I walked in. There was a band playing, and they were great. There were just packed. This packed two floors filled with fans. There was a huge Cheesehead TV flag that someone had made. I don't know who it, but it's huge, and I have it here in our studio now. I mean, and so many Brazilian fans talked to me about Cheesehead TV. The number one question I got was, "Where's Corey?" And I said, "Corey's
holding
it down."
That's the number one question I got on the watch party.
I said, Corey's holding it down on watch party. But, man, they were so emotional. The Brazilian fans were so emotional. There was one woman who was legit crying, and she told me, "I can't believe you're here. I can't believe the Packers are here. This is like a dream." Like, they were so passionate and so happy that the Packers were there, that the NFL was there. It was awesome, dude. I'm telling you, the experience was incredible. Shout out to Marcus. Shout out to everyone at Packers Brazil. Shout out to every Packers fan who showed up, including Jeff, one of our Patreon members, who has the distinct honor of being our only Patreon member and probably only Cheesehead TV fan who has been at both our meetup in London and our meetup in Sao Paulo. So, you know, that's wherever the Packers play next internationally, Jeff, I expect to see you there. Incredible.
It's a good streak.
Incredible stuff.
Jeff's going to get a prize. I told him last night he's going to get a signed Tucker Kraft Packers helmet. It also has the unique privilege and honor of having Henry Pearson sign it. So, a dual Henry Pearson Tucker Kraft signed Packers helmet
what
for Jeff.
Isn't that from the night where Musgrave was supposed to be there and just didn't show up?
It was supposed to be Kraft and Musgrave. And it was Kraft and Pearson. And then Pearson left, and now and then he got back on the team, and now he's off the team, right?
Now he's off the team again. Yeah. That's hilarious.
It's unfortunate.
Elsewhere in the Packers blogosphere, all this is more real life, but I had to give a shout-out to Bo Thomas, a local Green Bay artist who has done now two murals around the Green Bay area. First, he did Bart Starr a couple months ago, and more recently, this mural on the Ray Nitschke Memorial Bridge, featuring one Ray Nitschke. Look at
By the
that.
Way, he also has an Aaron Rodgers that you probably don't know about. He does Trackside Design, so Bo's company is Trackside Designs. I would say him and Spencer probably do two of the most kind of Green Bay murals in town. But Bo has a he has an Aaron Rodgers one that's off Broadway. I got to show you. That's pretty cool.
I remember that one. No, I remember that when it was first up. I didn't know
he's
if that was
cool.
Still
Trackside
around
Designs is legit, and he does these awesome. I follow him on Instagram too, and I've met him only one time. I went to this arts. I went to this arts presentation at the Widener, and he's got this really cool train art. So he'll like do kind of graffiti art on train rail cars.
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
I love his vibe. It's awesome. But yeah, I was so excited when I saw that starting this last
weekend. The bridge mural. That's amazing. Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah.
I also want to give a shout out and a request to anyone watching right now, live on the chat. If you're listening later on the podcast or watching on YouTube later or Facebook or whatever, we have a Patreon member who has who is in need of help. He's in need of help. This is Connor. In the message at the Patreon page, he wrote, "Been a Cheesehead TV Patreon for years now. Just shooting you a message to see if you know of any Packers fans / groups in Rome. To see where I could watch the week 3 game there. I will be in Rome on my honeymoon, but obviously need to watch the game. Thanks." This is my kind of dude. This is a dude who just got married and is like, we're going to Rome. We're on our honeymoon. But baby, there is no way I'm missing the game. So I am obviously not familiar with Rome or where to watch Packers games or NFL games in Rome. But if there's anyone, A, in the chat or listening later on the podcast, please shoot me an email at aaron@cheeseheadtv.com. I need to know where in Rome can a dude named Connor, and I guess maybe his newly betrothed, watch the Packers against the Titans in week 3. It's a desperate cry for help, a plea. We're trying to help Packers fans worldwide.
This feels like, you know, back in the day, it would have been Lost Connections on Craigslist. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was kind of the place for this.
I saw you on the 7 train.
I saw you on the 7 train.
You smiled at me.
Train.
You got off at Queensboro Plaza. I kept going. I was headed to Citi Field. And I've regretted not saying hi. Man, that's some old school shit right there. That's amazing. I haven't thought of that in ages. That's awesome. You know what isn't awesome, though, Corey?
What's that?
What is negative on the awesome scale?
What's that?
Is when the Packers social media team is doing so well, and then they have an epic fail. You know, they have turned it around. Packers social has gotten so much better, been outstanding for months now. And then this tweet went out. I believe it was yesterday. Settle a debate for us. The most elite tailgating food is, answer below, and the choices are burgers, hot dogs, or wings. Now, Corey, I ask you, what's missing here?
I wonder. Yeah. I mean,
brats? How do you not have
this,
brats?
Like, there's this... You know what's funny is they took the name off. Maybe that's what happened. It's not called Oh, yeah, it is still. Johnsonville Tailgate Village over here.
Packers, Johnsonville, what do they make? What do they make?
They make bratwurst.
Oh, right.
Also, brats. Like, one of the best commercials that's played at Lambeau, right? Here's the thing. I wanted to take a poll. I started to do, like, a poll on YouTube, but I think that's too advanced for me right now. So, how many people think, okay, so did the, so later on the Packers were like, oh, it's a lifestyle.
Oh,
that's why we
tried
didn't
to
put
save
brats,
it.
Blah, blah.
They
but
tried
here's
to
the thing, because everybody,
brats
when I started being like, what the fuck is wrong with you and all this stuff, people were like, I think they're doing this on purpose, okay? So a lot of people thought they were doing this on purpose. So I want to know, what do you guys think? Were they doing it on purpose, or did the intern make a mistake and then they realized it too late and they couldn't just delete the tweet and they had to figure something out? I kind of want to know, because was it planned like this? Or
they trying to save it? I think they were trying to save it.
And whose fault is this? Is this Waller's fault?
Yeah, we blame Waller's, essentially. Ultimately, it falls under Waller's. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter who actually pushed send on the tweet. It doesn't matter who composed the tweet. You know, under, you know, the laws of the land, Waller's is in charge. So, obviously, it's Waller's fault. Like, it's
like, also,
like,
if
a guy screws up on the field, it's under Matt LaFleur's purview, right? Like, it's Matt LaFleur bears the brunt of the blame. It's like Jason Waller's.
You don't know anything about tailgating food, you shouldn't post about tailgating food.
This is a wise piece of advice, Corey Behnke.
Like, don't come into Wisconsin. Like, don't come all lip into Wisconsin and tell us how to fucking tailgate. And you're the Green Bay Packers just because you bought the fucking Fomation. They buy Fomation. They think they know everything about Wisconsin all of a sudden. It's like, what is going on?
Why do you let Green Bay Packers? They kind of know about Wisconsin. Maybe this certain person doesn't.
Well, whoever's running their Twitter account doesn't know shit about Wisconsin. Because also, if you're going to put hot dog, you should put jumbo wieners. Because everybody knows a campfire wiener over a hot dog any fucking day of the week on a tailgate. That's the next level. Also, yeah, there's so many things wrong with it. The burger, all but you have a bratwurst sponsor. You literally have you have a building.
Like, we're not even upset that you didn't use Conops, which, you know, most people should. But Johnsonville,
well, they're never going to do that.
Is right there in your backyard, and you're disrespecting them.
You built a house and then you named it Johnsonville, and then you're gonna
completely throw them aside. Like, they never meant anything to you. I don't know, man. Hey, look, much like the Packers are trying to find their footing coming off week one, right? Not the result we wanted. The social media team going to bounce back from this. Just like the Packers going to bounce back from Brazil, social media going to bounce back from this hellacious brat tweet.
Also, I'm going to say to those of you, yes, I did say jumbo wiener, but I'm going to say this right now. If you have never had a campfire wiener, okay? So, you've never had one, you actually have never lived. So I'm just going to say that. So I'm fine saying it. It's fine. Come back at me when you have a campfire wiener.
Speaking of being fine saying stuff, I'm fine saying Corey Behnke held it down on Friday night. I mean, he was so nervous. He'll never admit this, but he was so nervous about doing it himself. He didn't want to be there himself, like blah, blah, blah. And then he only presides over the most watched watch party ever in the history of Cheesehead TV. And that's
a true story. I think it was the second or third.
No, it's the highest. It's not even close. What are you talking about?
I looked it up.
No.
I looked it up.
No. What beat it?
Yeah.
What beat
it?
No, I
looked it up. There was a watch party we did like in 2021 that beat it.
No.
Because I typed the word watch. No, I didn't. But okay. I hear you. No, here's the thing. I felt really good. Here's the things that in hindsight I could have done a better job at is, like, there's certain players, and actually what was really good about doing it by myself is that I rely on you so much, and instead of, like, I need to apply the same technique that I did for this when we're doing it together, where it's like, how can I contribute things that accentuate kind of what you're doing and contrast what you're doing. When you're doing it by yourself, you have to keep the space. So I was always worried about like having the empty space, but the thing that bothered me the most, and I should have done a better job, is I knew there were going to be players. So like, you know, little things like 11 or 13, you know, yeah, I know 11's Reed, and like, I should know better that 13's Wicks. It took me a little bit. Xavier McKinney, like, I should have, Javon Bullard. There's certain players where I should have memorized their numbers. Like, even if I just said 8 players that I know are going to be in this game that I don't know as well their numbers, I should have known their numbers. But other than that, you know, I felt all right. I mean, I felt all right.
Dude, you killed it. I will tell you, as depressed as I was getting back to the hotel after the game, and I was depressed because I thought Jordan was done. Like, I thought it was over, right? I thought season wrapped. And then I get to the hotel, I fire up my computer, and I watched a whole lot more than I probably should have of your, like, watch party. It was amazing. Like, I went back, you can really get the narrative of the game, the whole thing. And I did want to highlight this one part because this is undoubtedly my favorite bit from Friday night.
Oh, dear.
Love, forward pass. Nice. Got a guy open. It's Reed. Reed is gone. Bye, 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 baby. Bye, bye. I got a touchdown. Let's go. Let's go. My goodness.
I need a bye, bye, baby song every time we score.
I don't even know where that came from. I don't even remember doing that. That's amazing. That's what's so crazy.
That's my new ringtone.
Also,
I love it.
No, my favorite part about the broadcast is getting Mike on the broadcast because I felt like I wasn't alone because I could look at Mike and be like, hey, Mike, do you approve this message? And it was fun. And got some Carry the G's on there.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's
and
very good.
I just like Holmgren's even better with the carry the G. I was like, oh, I got all over. This merch in the shot. I'm like, great. This is the merch shot.
Holding
it's
it down.
Me in the Cheesehead TV store.
It down. Exactly. It's so good. All right, we got some folks lined up to chat. We got some super chats up in here. What's going on?
We do have some super.
Quick shout out to Joe, a Care of the G Club member. Maybe Corey could give Tom Brady some pointers. That's a fair assessment because Corey was better on that watch party than Tom Brady was in that Browns Cowboys game. No doubt about it.
Adam Koepke, outside of quarterback, what position group do you think the Packers do really well at developing? Wide receiver,
offensive line, clearly. and wide receiver. They've done a great job on both, right? I mean, I think there's no doubt. You look at offensive line, the way they have utilized late round draft picks and turned those into bona fide starters, if not, you know, really good players. For me, it's offensive line, and they just keep doing it. I mean, Zach Tom's out there pitching a shutout against a premium pass rusher. He was a fourth round pick. You know, it's like that offensive line is pretty damn impressive in Green Bay.
Uncultured Barbarian. Barbarian PSA. Keep your local animal shelters in mind. I have brought mine 20 pounds of much-needed cat food in the past 2 days. That's nice.
Thanks, Uncultured.
Appreciate
Thanks
that.
For the shout-out, brother.
It's
Appreciate
true. You. Not everybody. It's Yeah, nope. It's true. Joe Mailman, down in distance on offense, a key this week? Question mark.
100 billion percent. Staying ahead of the sticks, making sure that Willis doesn't have to overcome third and 9+. Big component. Big key to this game. And look, I know everyone's going to be thinking, oh, Josh Jacobs. But to me, as we said earlier in the show, it's about Jaden Reed getting the ball to him in space in a million different ways.
Ed, know of apps that allow you to have the crowd noise without announcers? Would love to not have to mute the game due to announcers I find irritating. Haven't figured
there
that
was
one
a
out
company,
then, yet, Ed.
There was a company that did something like that approached us, actually, a couple years ago about doing something with them, and then the NFL shut them down. So it's hard. You could find like maybe a YouTube ambient kind of soundtrack with like said like generic football NFL football crowd or something like that. But yeah, no, that's as far as like hearing the actual live loud crowd. I know Amazon has a couple of like alternative broadcasts on their Thursday night package.
Well,
and
if you,
one
I think
of them
if you do the. Yeah,
the
I think you're right.
Sounds,
I think if you
sure.
do the, I think if you do the statistics sound, you can choose to turn announcers on and off. But don't quote me on that. But they have that. It's
but that's
like
only
third
one game.
Stream.
That's the problem.
It's only Thursday,
and that's
football,
only
yeah.
Thursday nights. Exactly.
Yeah. Ryan, that Bullard hit on AJ Brown. Love the physicality.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He did a phenomenal job all night, and he's a rookie, so yeah, he's going to make some mistakes, but I think, man, they really found a player there. My one lament at the safety spot is Evan Williams not getting a single snap from scrimmage. That's crazy to me. He's too good to be sitting on the bench the whole game.
Josh Sims, is Quay being played at the wrong linebacker spot? I mean, before we say that, I actually think Quay had a pretty good game. I know he was out of position on a couple. There's that one weird play where he falls in. But there's that the interception that Xavier McKinney gets. If you follow and check that play, Preston Smith gets a really good rush, gets some press on Hurts, which then you look at Quay, he goes right up the middle, covers his man really well, who's breaking
out. By the way,
that's
a wide receiver. That's a wide receiver
exactly.
who's taking up the seam there. That's a really good play.
And then that allows Xavier McKinney to play, you know, to play center field and get the interception.
I don't know if he's – I know all offseason prior to the start of camp, I – talked a lot, and when I was doing the podcast with Tazeem, we both assumed he was going to be moved to weak side linebacker, and that has not happened. He has played in the middle. I don't know if he's out of position or what have you. I think he would excel at the will, but I also think Edrin Cooper is probably the natural will that's going to get on the field more and more. I love the idea of the two of them together, and I want to see more of that, and I think that will help Quay, but we'll see going forward.
Your Honor, in keeping with the topic of mediocre defense, random Packer Jim Carter. I remember him standing next to the pile after the runner was down. Go back. Thanks, Your Honor. Joel Becker, nothing of substance to contribute, but it's so good to see my two dads back at it. Go, Pack, go. Thanks, Joel. Appreciate
you, Joel.
Thanks for the support.
Thanks for checking out the show.
Prolific 94, I only have a couple carry the G's left. Need more. Why do I have to live in Illinois? Won't be back in GB till Niners game. Prolific, I put this on here because if you can drive to Chicago, you can get carry the G. Yes, you heard that right. You can get carry the G in Illinois. It's not everywhere. It's only in one select location currently. But
maybe a few more as we go along here.
Maybe a few more. Yeah, we're trying to get it to some other places. But you can get carry. We should have had a carry the G siren for that. But you can get carry the G. Thank you. There's the map. And yes, it mostly looks like Wisconsin right now. But there is a Chicago location that you can get carry the G at. So check it out. And I believe
you go to cheeseheadtv.com. Go to cheeseheadtv.com, select the beer tab at the top of the page, and this is the map that will come
up. It'll take you to this map.
You will then just enter the essentially your zip code, and if you're in Illinois, it should show you the Chicago location or location.
Look at how drunk Milwaukee is with Carry the G.
Hell
Milwaukee
yes,
and
maybe.
Kenosha are just
the
like,
whole,
yeah, and
the
Madison.
Whole east side of the state, just all the way up through the peninsula. Like, I love it. It's so good. So much care.
Gavin Briseno, hello. Do you think Love will play in L.A.? I live here, and bringing six other family members would blow if he didn't play.
Yes, I think he will.
Yeah, probably. Dustin Schuett.
Schedule up here.
Is there a place in Rome where Connor can get carry the G? No, Dustin. There is a place in Chicago. There's a place in Wisconsin.
Rome.
And
no.
Scene. And scene. Dustin Logan, it's your birthday, Dustin Logan. No better way to
What's
celebrate
up,
a birthday than with Cheesehead TV. Dustin, happy birthday.
Happy
that's awesome.
Happy birthday, Dustin.
Did not that's realize it. That's pretty
happy
sweet.
Birthday.
Stephen M., my dad watches Cheesehead TV on Friday, first time ever since he doesn't live in Wisconsin anymore, and he said y'all did a good job and we'll keep watching. All right, Stephen's dad,
see, Corey,
thank you so much.
When he says y'all, he means
we got
you.
One.
So there you go.
We got
well
one.
Done.
We got
You're
one.
You're bringing him in.
One sub. One sub. Are we in?
Did he
I
sub?
I don't know. We're not
or is he just watching?
Did he sub,
Stephen,
or is he just watching?
Tell your dad to
we
sub.
We need the sub. Stephen,
we need the subs. Get,
show him where the show them where the
subscribe
sub button is.
Buttons.
Rome, Wisconsin.
Don't
I don't
subscribe.
Know Steve. Steve Peters, you know where the locator is. Steve Peters has literally been to like many of our beer meetups. He's a regular,
yes.
So he knows how to get the carry the G.
He understands. He's just trying to poke the bear there.
Kevin Kohler, Corey, did you pass your Master Gardener test? Yes, I did. Thank you for asking. And not only that, but I got a little name tag action. It says Corey from the University of Wisconsin. It's pretty dope. So yeah, nice. I passed,
nice.
And you know what? Now I get to volunteer for the rest of my life to keep up my certification. So thank you. Thank you, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
That's all that's fit to print. Let's get
Sweet.
A non-alcoholic carry the G. Yeah, and that would be good for and then
Slow
Nagler would only
down.
We would do a new contract with Nagler, and Nagler could only drink non-alcoholic carry the G.
And then
the
I would
funny
quit,
thing is,
and she said TV would have ceased
here's
to
the
exist.
Funny thing. Here's the funny thing, though. If I just put non-alcoholic carry the G, if I put non-alcoholic Spotted Cow in, or non-alcoholic carry the G in Spotted Cow bottles, I bet as long as I kept it in Spotted Cow bottles, I bet you would still drink the shit out of it.
Oh, ye
I
of
just...
little faith.
I bet you could.
Dog.
I bet.
I dare you.
Nah.
I double dog dare you to try some bullshit like that. We'll see how that works.
I bet.
We'll see how that goes.
I bet I could.
Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members, the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. Great to see so many of you on the happy hour last night. If you are not yet a Patreon member, please consider signing up for Patreon. It really supports everything we do here with the brand. It's basically $5 a month if you want to do it at the lowest level. It supports our efforts here, video-wise, on the website, all the social stuff that we do, everything encompassing Cheesehead TV. We really appreciate the support, as well as the folks here on YouTube. Everyone who is a Cheesehead TV Carry the G Club member, you guys really bring it during the watch parties. You're the absolute best. Cannot thank you enough for all the support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You got anything else for the fine folks at home there, Corey Banky?
Yeah, I just there was one thing. Let me see who asked. Slider 6294. What's the ABV of carry the G? That would be 5.1%. I wanted 4.9, but I got overruled because of people who know what's up, and they were like, "Yeah, we need to be over 5." And I like it at 5. 5.1 is nice. It's nice.
It's sweet. Smooth. It's so good. It's a perfect beer for game days. No doubt about it. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation. And we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time. And just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.